I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the Osage Nation Congress Membership Committee meeting. We're here in the Osage Nation Chambers, January 19, 2017. This meeting is from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. So first thing we have next is the roll call.
Congressman Mason.
Present.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Next thing is prayer. I'll offer a prayer for us. In thoughts of our country, in thoughts of our country, Zinke, Ampakaha, Iabaha, one off here, Dolly Combra. Bajaji, Nika, she, Dakede, Mabaki Combra. No Nika, she, Zinkaji, Apaski, Dakede, Mabaki Combra. Who heck up in here? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day, and we want to ask you to be here with us as we take care of our Osage people and their business. So give us wisdom and knowledge and courage to do what's fair and right for all of our people according to the laws of the Osage Nation. Bless all of our people, the elders, the children, service members, wherever they may be, and all the things that you know we need at this time. So bless us with your kindness, and we give you all the grace and glory in Jesus' name.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I just wanted to let you and my other colleague know that at 10:30 I've got a phone conference meeting. I'm going to step out of this meeting at 10:30.
Yeah, we'll pay you the story for a minute real quick. Yeah, I think you should be. Yes, Congressman Mason.
Motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve minutes. November 23rd, 2016. Minutes are approved. Our next thing on our agenda here and is the membership update. So we have our director of the membership department here, Ms. Overly, and you have the floor.
Okay. Well, I think I brought this up the last time we were here about combining cards. Yeah. Right now, technically, we have three cards. We have the Tribal ID card, membership card, and a CDIB card. And so, working on, instead of people having to keep up with three different cards or even two different cards, just one card. And I remember what you said about a lot of people aren't going to want their blood quantum on the back of their membership. So what I thought we could do is give them an option. Like on our membership application, would you like one card with the membership and the CDIB, or would you rather have two cards? That way gives them the option, you know, whether they do that or not. And I've got, if you guys want, I should have marked them, but they're.
Let's let our clerk make it, okay. Stamp it
and
in.
And then this is just a draft. I haven't changed anything. This is just what I'm wanting it to look like.
Okay. And that's the application?
Yes, this is the membership application. And also I have on there, I ask if they're a veteran and if they could supply me with the DD-214. That I could put veteran on their membership cards. Because as we know, they get a discount on their tax if they're veteran. Mm-hmm. And they don't always ask, are you a veteran? You know, when you go in to get tagged. So if they see it on the membership card, they're gonna know. They don't have to ask that they're a veteran. So I've been having them work on getting us the cards. Hope it didn't drop out on the way here. Putting be honest, I don't like either one of these, so I'm asking them if they could. This right here, the veteran, is too light, you can barely see it. And then this other one, they put it in a circle, which I don't really care for either, but it's easier to see. But something that will indicate, and we've got Addie in graphics, is she supposed to be maybe trying to get something a little bit nicer, classier, I don't know, something. Like I said, I'm not real crazy about either one of those, so.
I think that American flag up on the corner, that's really
good. I want the flag.
I like that.
I just don't know if I want it in a circle. I was like, can we like put on a pole with a line or something? I don't know.
I think they can make it.
So that is in the works. That should be happening pretty quickly. The second thing, according to my bill, I'm supposed to be charging for replacement memberships. So I've kind of got something that to put on our website. And what do y'all think about $10? It says in the bill up to $35. We could do $5, we could do $10, we could do $50. We haven't been charging at all for replacements. Mm-hmm. So I keep thinking it's in the bill, so we need to start doing it.
I think $10 is a...
You think $10 is...
Yeah.
Is that okay with you, John?
Hard to be
with $10?
I'm good with $10.
Okay.
Let me ask this question,
okay,
since we're on here. If you collect the $10, where does the $10 go?
We send it to our accountant. And we're... That's the only place I know where it would go.
Back to the treasury?
When it goes to the accounting office, okay. I think it goes back.
Just wanted folks to hear that.
Okay. Now, if they are requesting a new tribal membership due to documental legal name changes, they will not be charged because they're changing their name, whether they get married or divorced and go back to their maiden names or whatever, or they just legally have it gotten adopted or just changed their name. We won't charge for that. And then I was going to put on the website that we now have the option of having your CDIB/membership cards combined into one double-sided card. If you prefer this option, complete a membership application indicating you want the combined card. You will still need to fill out the BIA form for the CDIB portion. And then this, I don't know, I said, if you are already in possession of two separate cards and would prefer just having one card, please fill out a replacement application and indicate you would like the one card. There will be no charge for the first combined card you receive. Since this is new, I didn't feel like we had to charge them again. I mean, you know, since it's something we're just now changing to go into, I figured it shouldn't be free the first time. Then if they lose it or whatever, then we would charge after that.
So I have two current cards.
Right.
This one was issued in December of 2002,
mm-hmm,
and signatures washed out from the chief at the time. So I need to get $10 to get me a new card.
No, and this is what I've always said, if you bring in a card like that, because that was when they used really cheap card stock, we will do that free because that's not your fault that it's worn out.
And I've got my CDIB.
Yeah. Card. Now, so see, if you put them back to back, you would just have one card to keep up with.
Well, on the back, it's got my census roll number on the back.
You see, we don't do that anymore.
We don't?
Mm-mm. BIA said there's no reason for you all to put the 53 census on the back of the CDIB cards. So we quit doing it. We still keep it in your records, you know.
My number's there, right?
Yeah. I can look. I can pull you up and I'll see your 53 census number. Or I'll see your dad's, because you'll go under your dad's. Mm-hmm. And you'll have your own. Usually, if you were born after 53, you won't have your own. You know, you'll go by your Osage parent, and that's the one that you'll use.
I was born in 44.
Well,
would you just say?
You have your own census roll number. I don't have my own census roll number. I go under my dad's. But you get to have your own since you were born previous to 53.
Yeah, see, I've got my dad, so.
What about the ones with the pit photo?
Okay.
Now this
is where I have sent a thing to the chief and the executive, asked them if they saw a problem with putting a photo ID on the membership cards. Instead of the tax commission doing a tribal ID card, why can't we combine them and have, it can be a tribal ID / membership card, or just a tribal ID card, which would have their membership number, have their photo, their address, everything that they put on there. Chief thought it was a good idea. He wanted me to get with Greg in the tax commission to see, you know, make sure it's tribal ID compliant. And Gail Deese in IT has been working with Homeland Security and the U.S. Customs to try to get it where it can be used as a passport once it goes through all the hoops in the Western Hemisphere. In other words, you could go to Mexico, Central America, South America, Canada, you won't need a passport because that tribal ID will be registered with the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, and they will let you through on that. That's the ultimate. I think that would be really a benefit. But again, I'm thinking that might take up to a year to complete all the MOAs or whatever. You know, she's been really wanting to do that, and I'm like, that's a great idea. But yes.
Yeah, just a thought that I understand at the end of January this month, if one was to travel airline, you're going to have a particular kind of identifier. Not your driver's license doesn't work anymore.
Oklahoma
driver's license doesn't. I was also told by another friend of mine, another tribe, that they use their Indian card and get right through. They don't have to use their driver's license. They use that card, and sometimes they get you through. Otherwise, you're there for 4 hours before you check it out and let you on, because it is the Indian card. Now, I don't know how all of the Indian nations can get that to whoever, security, TSA, or whatever.
Now, our tribal card, because I bought one, they charge $15 to have one, and I was getting ready to go to a conference in LA, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to test this out. Mm-hmm. So I went and got the card. Tulsa, no problem. Okay, let me on. LA coming back, 2 hours. I sat there because they'd never seen one before. So, you know, then I was going to be like, I've got a driver's license, but I just wanted to see how long it would take. And LA is a huge airport, of course. It took longer.
What if we were in Mexico City?
If we get through the Homeland Security and the Border Patrol, all of that, she said that she's already got it. She's going to look it over, and she's sending it to the Attorney General's office to have you all look it over to see, you know, if it meets our laws and, you know, all that before it can progress any further. Right now, I was just trying to eliminate people having so many cards to keep up with. And I thought, you know, having just the one, or if they don't want the blood quantum on the back, okay, well, we'll let you have two. I have a feeling that those not living in Osage County that live in California and Texas, and they're going to probably want one, because if they need their, for any kind of services, if they need a membership card, they'll do their own, you know, they'll make their own copy. So they'll be the only ones that see it. So I kind of think they'll be the ones that will probably want to just have one card.
There you go. For the record, I'd like to say that Mr. Patterson from the Attorney General's office, he is the Assistant Attorney General. He is here with us today, and I failed to mention that in the beginning, but do you have anything to add to this membership card in the way of
law, federal law, state law?
Just to go back to what Congressman Mason was saying, yeah, as I understand it, the Oklahoma IDs are not federal compliant for traveling. There are steps, as I read just in the media, to make them compliant before the end of this month, which is the deadline the federal government has given us. But I don't know a lot about that. But I have boarded planes with using my travel ID, and I would definitely be on board with getting those compliant to use as a passport. And our office will work to do whatever we can to make sure that that happens.
Thank you.
Congressman Mason?
So would our photograph be on that? Because sometimes they'll say they need a photo ID to get your ticket.
See, and that's what we're going to try to take over from, instead of the tax commission doing it, is maybe they can loan us their equipment to be able to, that we take that, the photo IDs, and we can put it on the membership card. For those out of state, maybe they can get, you know, like a passport photo or something to send in. Maybe we'll have to have it notarized saying this is the person that they say they are, for them to have the photo on the membership.
Do you have one?
I know, wow, I like that.
See, we can have one of,
and
know,
see, even on the tribal ID, it's going to have your membership number on it. So it's going to be
same
pretty
number,
easy.
Just the same number.
Yeah. I just want to combine them. Instead of having two separate ones, I would like to, technology, it's there. We can have it. Why not utilize it?
We can just combine it. There's plenty of room on here for all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I asked you before in your office. The other tribes, have you seen these?
I've seen
the
other tribes.
They have all this information on one side, and we could put our CVIB information on the back.
On the back of it. Some of the enrollment conferences that I go to, everybody shows their ID, and I'm kind of embarrassed to show Mars because Mars has nothing on it.
Yeah.
And theirs has, you know, pictures, and it has addresses, and it has all this stuff. And a lot of the tribes, and I didn't realize this, the BI said, you all are one of the last tribes to even issue CVIB cards. And I said, well, what does everybody do? They put it on the membership. They put the blood quantum on the membership. I thought that was a little different because I thought everybody still did CVIBs, but I'm not ready to go there yet. I think little steps at a time to get people used to maybe just having the one card, and then if we can get,
well, is there any function or reason, excuse me, I didn't, is there any function that a CDIB serves in that a tribal membership, federally recognized tribal membership card would not get you there? Is there anything that you have to do exclusively on a CDIB that a tribal membership won't do?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I take that back. To use our IHS or Wajaji Health Center, they need a CDIB. Now, other tribes that have their own IHS clinics, they've gotten them where they just take the membership. They don't have to have the CDIB.
So
that
was that something within our own way we process and our own system that we could look at changing and just accept tribal IDs?
I don't see why we couldn't.
Do you have any idea?
I don't have, I don't have any idea, but it seems to me that it would be a program function. The requirements are essentially the same, so.
Right.
Because we've taken it over now. It's ours, right? Kind of.
Right.
So
I'd rather my tribe identify who I am than the federal government issue me a document that has my pedigree, although I know that that's the underlying base document that we have to have. Kind of.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
You know, but I'd rather it be a tribal function.
And that may be something we could talk to the clinic about, you know, over here. Change.
Well, maybe, why don't we try as a committee next meeting to all collaborate and get the clinic over here and just join in this dialogue and tell them really what our vision is, to have one tribal membership card that acts as a identification card, and that we're trying to phase out the use of CDIBs and be sovereign in that area, mm-hmm. and ask them if they would, now there's always going to be a use for other people to have a CDIB card though. I mean, I'm jumping around. But for our purposes here, right. As a nation, right. to see if they would want to comply with that and what it looks like and what we need to do, if there's any legislation that we need to get buffed up to kind of be cohesive throughout the nation on how we're handling this, and maybe have a tax commission here also. Yeah. Just have a membership committee meeting with all the people at the table. Would that be a good thing?
Yeah, I can get with them myself personally, but I think the invitation goes out to all these meetings too.
Well, I mean, but that would be our agenda items, though. It would be a discussion between the tax commission, the membership committee, and the
health clinic.
The health clinic, yeah. So, I don't know. I think that at least.
Okay, yeah, we can do that.
Sounds like a motion to me.
Can you put that in the form of a motion?
Would you like me to put that in the form of a motion? I move that the chair start dialogue along with Sarah Oberle, the membership director, with the health, Wajaji Health Center, and the tax commission, and invite them to our next meeting to discuss tribal IDs and membership and CDIBs.
Is that okay to pass?
It's just a
probably combined.
Second.
You're the chair, but that's
it's just a discussion.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're not telling anybody what to do, but right. we're just telling them, we're thinking about this, yeah. and think what do you guys think?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, because there must be some kind of reason why we have to have these CDIB cards. I mean, even though they're, I guess, becoming obsolete.
Well,
the reason I carry mine. Because I'm two tribes. I'm Osage and Cherokee. And it's got my total amount of Indian blood because of those two tribes. It doesn't say how much Osage or how much Cherokee.
Right.
But it's got my total on there.
Now, if you were to lose that and you come, you're going to have to get the Osage from us, and then you're going to have to go down to the Cherokees and get one from them because we no longer combine. They do not let us combine. So all I can do on a CDIB is give you Osage. I can't put your Cherokee back on there.
Yeah.
Okay, is this invalid in this card?
No, I still have one that has my Creek and Seminole, and it's like that. It's just all together.
Yeah.
Does it say break it up to what you are? But if I was to lose that, I would have to, get
understand.
From my office is the Osage. I would have to go to the Creeks.
We have a motion now on the table, and we have a discussion, so it's been seconded. Now we have a vote. All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Would you please excuse
yes.
me?
Yes. Congresswoman Whitehorn has to go to a very important phone conference, so you are excused.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, so yeah. Okay,
this is a draft.
It's a draft.
Okay, and Attorney General's office has seen this as well.
No, he's going to see it today.
Just kind of run that by.
Yeah, because like I said, I put that on there just to see if you all liked it. If you think this
what
is
the current membership application look like?
Just like that, except it doesn't have those two things about the veteran, and it doesn't have anything about the one card. Everything else is the same.
So those first top two things, right?
Right. Like those are the two that I had our labor add those to it. This, everything else is all the same. We just added those two things. And I needed to get the approval from you all to see if that was okay to change that application, to read that way. That way we can capture the veterans. And if they want to go to having one card with the membership on the front and the CDIB on the back, they have that choice.
Okay, now, we have that technology right now, so if they say, yes, I want that new card with double side, we can do that now?
We can do that now.
Okay. Well, I think it's a great idea. Yes, Mr. Mayor.
In regards to bill number ONCA 1616, our law, which I have, I would only ask that maybe the Attorney General's office, in your office, make sure that, are we addressing veterans anywhere in this bill, I wonder?
No.
So in essence, this would be more of a policy from your, is that written up anywhere that we're going to do? We haven't decided we're going to do that.
No, right, right. Haven't decided. In fact, this came from one of the girls in the tax commission. She's like, oh, you know, we don't think to ask every time if they're a veteran. And she wanted to know, she said, is there any way on the membership cards that you can put something indicating they're a veteran? That way they'll get a discount on their tag. And I said, oh, well, I'm sure we probably could. But no, the bill doesn't.
Just check and make sure we.
Yeah, it doesn't address anything about veterans.
So we don't have to add that into the.
I'm just thinking, do we need to amend our bill? Or is it just coming from, if we decide, if this committee has a lot of, quote, power to make some ideas, but I just don't want to overstep.
Right, right.
Mr. Patterson?
I might put my membership back to my other folder, but I don't know that the membership application's addressed in the act or not.
It is, but it says that the Congress has the ability to.
And the Constitution says.
Right.
Does it prescribe what has to be in the application?
No. It just says that.
We will establish a membership.
Yeah, that they'll.
What are your views on that? You're senior leaders of our Congress. Do you think we need to have that included?
Not really at a point today at this table to say yes or no. Mm-hmm. I think we need to explore that. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. I think it's a good idea. I think if we, again, get some invite is extended to our tax commission and all the other people and see if indeed this change is going to help the whole picture, might be.
One thing right here, it says under the functions of the membership office is charged with continuously maintaining a current membership role, processing membership applications, enrolling new members and disenrolling members who relinquish their membership, maintaining an official record of those people who have relinquished, died, or been removed from the rolls by final court order, and referring all potential loss of membership actions to the Office of the Attorney General. But I do believe there's somewhere in here.
Well, I think to answer your question on, I think any time we can advance and make it better, we should do that, make it clear and better for the office and for our membership and for this committee, for us to maintain records, and if that means a change here or there to make it better. I don't think there should be any argument against that. Probably will be, but maybe time we change.
The thing is the technology's out there, and we haven't utilized it in that office in 30 years. And I'm trying to bring it up where, you know, we're using the technology because it is out there and is possible. And so.
I know, the IRS knows we exist.
They definitely know all our business.
I totally agree with all that, and I will look over this membership application and the current law, and we can come up with a proposed way to either say you have to do this through legislation resolution, or the membership office has the ability to do it on their own, and we can discuss that at the next meeting if that's okay with the chair.
Yes, I think that's a great idea, and we need to make sure we're compliant with everything. That's why we always, Greg, you're here with us
Mr. Patterson, with the Attorney General's office, to make sure we're doing everything under the Osage law and federal law.
There's another question to do with our, I've talked with Ms. Oakley about a couple of times in her office, and it's about being compliant with that, the membership law, the dealing with newborn children, infants, or...
Yes.
Can you give
us... I think I've asked you all before if that can be reworded or taken out, because I try very hard to do everything in this membership bill that's possible.
What page and what number is it?
Okay, it is, it's on page 3.
Okay.
Under qualification for membership. And it says, "Every newborn child who is verified by the membership office as being a direct descendant of an original adoptee shall automatically qualify for temporary membership and be admitted as a temporary member of the Osage Nation for a period of 240 days following the birth of the child. No temporary membership will be entered on the Osage membership roll. The membership office shall maintain an official record of all temporary members and provide that information to the Osage Nation Congress no less than every 30 days. I don't know how to do that. I don't know when babies are born. I don't know if they're born in Washington or California and they haven't registered yet to be a member. How am I supposed to know who they are and supply you all with a list?" And the reason I think this was put in, how it was explained to me, is if, God forbid, you have an infant and it passes away, because of the 240-day temporary membership, they're going to get burial assistance. That's the only reason that's in there. And I told Shannon, I think I mentioned that to her, and I said, I don't know how to capture infants 240 days when they haven't applied for membership. They don't ask the parents to send anything to me saying they've had a baby. How am I supposed to know? And that's one thing that's really bothered me, because I can't do this. I've thought of every, you know, even if I got every paper in every county in the United States on births, I still...
Because I, you know, that's...
It's just...
That's up to the parent.
It's impossible for me to do that. It really is. Now, when the parents, you know, get the birth certificate and get the Social Security card, they send it in, I make them members then. But if it's when they're infants and they don't apply yet, I don't know who they are. And I don't know how to get you all names of them.
Yeah, Ms. Patterson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. It seems to me the only way to comply with that section would be to maintain a list of the people or the infants that have had the burial assistance or some type of assistance during the temporary period, and just maintain that as a separate list and keep that and send that over.
I could do that because... But it says every child, and I'm like, you know.
There is eligible to be a temporary member. That doesn't mean every child is going to become a temporary member.
Yes.
Is it the word temporary that's the kink in this?
Every.
Not for me. It to me is every temporary member, I have to know who they are, and I don't know how I would find out who they are, because I have to send you all a list of every temporary member.
The only way you're going to find out is if the case happens that you described, or some similar action where
right.
they needed now, a temporary membership, but by the time they could apply for regular membership, they are deceased, so they couldn't be a member.
Right. Because once the 240 days is over, then they either, that temporary goes away, and it's up to the parents to make them a member or not make them a member.
But that way you can maintain a list of somebody who received assistance, even though they wouldn't be on the membership roll, in case somebody came back later to...
So in other words, I can keep a list of burial for infants 240 days and less?
I wouldn't say burial.
But what other assistance is there? That's the only reason that's in there.
I would just call temporary members who have ever needed the temporary membership. If they need one, then you could keep a list. If they never need one, then you're not going to know. So you wouldn't have to put them on any sort of list.
I don't mind that being in there. The only thing I would like is just to take out that I haven't kept a list.
The assistance that we get.
Yeah, that's correct.
WIC program.
What?
WIC program with another newborn.
True. You're right.
Well, I'd say it's ultimately up to the parent to, I mean, as soon as the child is born, I mean, you know.
Most of the time, they do. They have to wait for the birth certificate to come back and the Social Security, and that does take some time, but once they get them, usually, you know, they make them permanent members.
Wonder where that came from. I mean, can we get guidance from the sponsor or the author?
Ms. Edwards.
Ms. Edwards,
yes. What year was that?
Six.
We talked about this. When you say that it was Jim Gray was...
This is my understanding of it, was when Jim Gray was chief and his wife worked for the Pawnees. There was a child, an infant, that passed away, and there were five different tribes. And because they were not members of any of them, no one would help with burial. And she told Jim about it, and they were a little bit upset, so he said, we'll do it. And so we paid to have this child buried. And then from then on, and they put it in the bill, the temporary 240 days, so if this would happen again and they are part of Osage, we would help with them, you know, burial. That's how I was told it came about.
So you think we can change this wording that would still
be temporary members, and if something happens, they can still get WIC, they can still get burial assistance. But don't make me have to keep track of
nationwide
of those people. I mean, these babies, because I can't give it to you all.
It's impossible.
And if that's taken out, then I'm good with it. But I feel like I'm not doing my duty because I'm not giving you all those infants' names and I don't know how to get them.
You can't until the parent notifies the nation about the birth.
It's like anywhere else in the world.
So maybe, you know, when we all come into session again, maybe that could be changed or taken out or...
What's your views on that, Mr. Patterson, on this?
I still think the only way to be compliant is to, you would maintain the list of anybody who's used the Osage Nation membership as a temporary member. That would be the only way you would ever know.
So I would have to get a hold of WIC and burial.
Your office would have to be notified before they get those services. And then you would make them a temporary member. Put them on the temporary membership roll list.
They're automatically, according to this bill, temporary members. I don't have to make them temporary members. They're already temporary members just by being born of Osage parents.
So you would not actually have to do anything, not issue a card, not do anything, mm-hmm. but you would just put them on a temporary member list roll.
And how would I get those names?
Whenever anytime. They come.
Okay, because right now they don't ask me. They don't say, oh, we're giving WIC to this one or we're giving burial assistance. I don't.
Normally, the process would not initiate with your office. It would initiate when they require or request assistance from somebody. But they say the situation where they can't enroll them on a roll, probably because they are deceased. But they were Osage at the time they were born, so you would keep that roll, and that would be a way to know the people who have been a temporary member who got some type of assistance but do not show up on our membership roll, and if our membership roll was audited for who got burial assistance, that name would not show up, and they would say, well, this name's not on there, they're not Osage. We could say, yeah, they were a temporary member because they fall under the membership code as being a temporary member, even though they were deceased at the time they got benefits and never got on the official roll and couldn't have, but they were temporary members, and that would be a way to keep track of that.
Okay. I can do that.
But you don't.
I can't do every one of them.
You cannot do every one of them. Only when it comes to your attention.
Okay. I can live with that.
Okay. Well, what about a family lives out in California and they don't even really know about how our laws work here, like they're Osage, but they're members, but they don't know about all the ways of how this law works. So what if they have a child that's stillborn, or something happens within the first few days of...
Well, then we don't help them. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if we're trying to be fair, it's ultimately up to the parent to notify the nation or the membership department that the child.
Because I mean, it's on the website about the burial assistance, and so if they are Osage and they live somewhere else, they should be looking at our website and keeping up with it and finding out about burial, and maybe calling and saying, "Oh my goodness, we've just had a stillborn in our family," and then we can say, well, that's okay, they're covered because they're less than 240 days old.
Right. Our main function would be to educate the burial assistance department, whoever's in charge of that, saying we do have a provision in our law for a temporary membership. If somebody calls and has this particular fact pattern, then we can help them under this provision. But our laws are out there, and hopefully people know about burial assistance, but we would be educating the people that are handling that program that provision is in there.
Because I think everybody that lives locally, they're aware of all of these mm-hmm. things, like WIC, like Shannon said, and everything that they're entitled to, even, first week of the, when they're still in the hospital. But like out-of-state members, especially way off.
Okay, well, I still want that changed, even to say only the ones that get services. And then those are the ones that I can keep track of. And then I can give them to you all, and I'm in compliance.
Okay, can you guys work together and see what wording needs to be changed on that?
Yes,
he's good at that.
We get that straight down.
He is real good at that.
To the best of our ability, so it's fair for everyone. And, but like I say, it's going to be up to the parent to keep a heads up on what they do.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, if they're Osage, they need to be at least on the website and finding out, what there is out there or what they, can qualify for.
Does that have to be any kind of a motion?
Okay, so I'll take care of that part. And we do have a meeting coming up here pretty quick, Congressional Fair meeting. It starts at 11 o'clock. So I think that, do you have anything else we need to discuss? I wonder, can you touch real quickly on that, the case that's going to court?
I can provide a quick update. We still have 15 members who have filed, who want their day in court, and it looks like they're going to get it. We filed a motion for summary judgment, which means that we filed saying that the facts alone do not create a dispute that the court would have to hear and decide, that the court can just decide based on the facts of the case. There's no facts in contention that would allow them to go to court. The court rejected our argument, did not grant our motion for summary judgment, so that means we will go to court, they will have a trial, will be a trial by jury. We have a pre-trial motion hearing on March 1st or 2nd. I think it's the 1st. At where we will decide all the pre-trial motions about evidence and discovery and that, and whatever may come up in the meantime. And then at that time, we'll set a trial date. I don't know quite when that'll be. Anticipate probably May, early summer, May, June. Be a historic date for the Osage. Since I've been here, and I don't think we've had a jury trial since the Attorney General's office has been open that I'm aware of, so it could be our first jury trial.
Oh boy.
And how many were there be there? Is that just 15 members? That one? Is that all?
That's
one?
A great question. There is a $1,000 non-refundable jury trial fee, so, and 15 have filed, or yeah, 15 have filed, so we, as counsel, agreed to do a trial on the oldest member, and whatever the outcome of that trial will be will affect the other 14. So for judicial expediency and conservation, we just decided to do the one trial on the oldest member.
And the jury pool will come from all tribal members?
That's what the code says, and now that's up to the court to decide the actual process of how that will be, but it comes from the membership office over to the court, and the jury pulls from every
state
Osage member over 18.
Could be from whatever state.
Wow.
The court will have to decide that, but yeah, that's going to be an interesting process as well.
I'm going to have to come and stay here for a week or two.
I don't see that happening. You know,
it should take at least two, probably 3 day trial, maybe up to a week.
Yeah. Well, okay, I guess that's an update on the membership request for trial or appeal. Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for being here today, and we better. We have a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion and we are adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Well, next week is the third Thursday.
And I'll get with the